We're back here live at KZSC Santa Cruz. We're speaking with Jane Immler, Brian Koepke, and Linda.
LeMaster.
Linda LeMaster, LeMaster. But all homeless activists and homeless, a couple of. Brian is.
I am.
Brian.
She was. I have been.
Mm-hmm. Before we cut off, we were going to. I did mention we should ask about recent organizing activities. I mean, is this an unprecedented level of activity that a group of homeless people in a city have gotten together to go to rallies, have sleepwalks, sleep-ins? Is there a history of that?
We did similar things like this in Los Angeles. Now, the reporter from the Chronicle said he thought that this was probably the greatest amount of activity in any northern California city that he had seen or that he knew about. So, you know, if that's true, wonderful.
Are you getting anywhere, or is the city just turning a deaf ear?
Well, I think the city is presently turning a deaf ear, but I think we've raised a lot of awareness, tremendous amount of awareness. People are finally learning about what this camping ban is all about, and that people are actually forbidden to sleep. And I think that that in itself, that's what, you know, organizing and demonstrating is all about, is raising awareness. Now, you know, I don't do things in linear, like winning or losing, so I just go out there and, you know, you plant the seeds and kind of watch how the garden flourishes.
Well, I think the city's doing worse than turning a deaf ear, because every time we try and do something for the homeless, they come in and bust us. We try and set up a camp while they come in and bust us, you know.
Where was that campsite? River Street?
Yeah, by the River Street shelter. It was a nice open field, and we were feeding people and had a place for people to sleep. And
how many people were staying there at its peak?
Well, as many as a couple dozen. Yeah.
And it was our understanding, and my understanding, on the River Street Shelter Board and also on the Citizens Committee for the Homeless, that this land was not part of the lease arrangement that the city and county had with the Citizens Committee and Democratic Management Services. And since it was city property and it wasn't part of the lease agreement, that's why the group chose to set up that demonstration there in a last-ditch effort to try to keep from getting too embarrassed. The city forced Democratic Management, which is the contract holder for Citizens Committee, to press trespassing charges against the people who were camped back there, and that's how it finally came down.
Now, a trespassing charge is a lot more serious. It's a misdemeanor as opposed to a camping citation, right?
Well, I think it's simple trespassing now. I'm not sure that that's a misdemeanor. Brian, do you know if that is or not?
I'm not sure, yeah, but I heard it was a misdemeanor.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And it's important to know that you can get misdemeanor charges if you get enough camping tickets, too. Also, the people that moved to the vacant lot behind the River Street shelter had been camping, both trying to create groups and individually before that, and some of them hoped that it might be a safer and more effective place, you know, or maybe they would get treated differently from the sweep tactics that are happening, at least in the city of Santa Cruz. And, of course, obviously it didn't work out that way. They continue to be unheard. I think the significant thing that's happened in this round of organizing compared to, say, 2 years ago, or what I know of the community in the past 10 years, is that the gap between people who consider themselves not having that problem because they're not homeless and the people who are on the streets has gotten smaller. In other words, a lot more people are becoming aware, because some street people and some other homeless people have put their own personal experience out in the public eye. People are becoming aware how close they are, how one little misfortune could put them out in the streets.
Well, I think people in general are probably feeling the economic squeeze a lot harder in this town. It's just gotten much more expensive to live here, and wages haven't gone up. So.
Yeah, I think that's true. And the other thing I've noticed, having done organizing back in 85 and 86 and now, is that the homeless are much more militant than they were back then. That was a real problem we had, was because they were so passive. But I don't think that militancy is exclusively to the homeless community here. I think we're seeing it all across the country and in various, you know, different kinds of protests and everything. It seems like people in some sections are kind of waking up again.
Well, it seems there's been some resentment to that degree of militancy. Like, I believe Marty Wormhout said she resented it when people, you know, come, you know, at her place at after dark, you know,
yeah,
that to talk to her.
Okay.
Go ahead.
That's what you call sleepwalking.
Right.
You wanted to
right.
say what that is?
Yeah.
Brought up the sleepwalk, where basically we organized people to go up to the city council. Basically, my intent was we wanted to show them we are legitimately homeless. City council keeps trying to act like, no, there are only a few homeless people, and they're all on the mall or something. We're going up there to show them. We were going up there to show them that we are legitimately homeless.
What I was getting at was, like, I think John Laird said that there could be a backlash, and it sounded almost like a threat the way he was phrasing it, and I was wondering how hard do you turn the screws on these people before, you know, you kind of back down or what?
I think when I was on the street, one of the things I was trying to do in order to keep my children with me was to be relatively invisible, and that worked until I became sick. But my feeling then was a backlash, in other words, more hostility from the community, couldn't be any worse than what I was already dealing with, you know. You can't even go dumpster diving without getting arrested in this city, you know, or getting poisoned because they throw toxins in their dumpsters, throw lye and soap in the dumpsters.
Rat poison's what I heard.
I'm just talking from my first-hand experience right now, though. But a backlash would have felt like, oh, there's more people out there that could be against me. You know, so I think if he was meaning it as a subtle threat to the homeless, he missed his mark, you know.
Would it be fair to say that the homeless aren't going to go away and they're not going to shut up?
I think it would be fair to say that they're going to increase in their numbers in the immediate future, no matter how together we get.
And they'll just keep being vocal and protesting, and it's going to continue until something's done.
Besides the direct action efforts you've undertaken, Jane, you're also a candidate for city council. Do you think you have a shot at actually being elected and influencing policy on this issue?
Well, I think that, you know, whether or not I'm elected at this point is really a moot point. I mean, I'm working very hard in that direction. I attend all the forums and all that. But I think we've already won a victory because, as it turns out, we have the most radical right-winger who wanted nothing more than to gather them all up and, like, put them behind the fence, inviting me out to breakfast and also writing a letter of apology to the homeless because he's ignored the problem for so long. The subject comes up. I rarely bring it up at the forums, but it always surfaces, I guess, either just because I'm there or whatever. And in all the surveys, with the sleeping ban, there's always a question about the sleeping ban. So I think we've already been 100% successful.
Of the other candidates who are running, are some better than others on this issue?
I think there's only one other individual who is actually speaking in favor of either rescinding the ban, and that is Hakeem Abdul. And I, as far as I know, most of the other candidates have offered that they come to the table and take our campground information, things like that, and then make it into their own. I think Porter has done something along those. I also think Jane Bear, although she doesn't talk about it, at least in private conversations, has indicated that she thinks it's a stupid ban.
But she is also opposed to low-income housing being built in the beach flats.
Yeah, I think so, but I think it more has to do with the Community Housing Corporation, which I indeed have some problems with that myself. They've gotten a lot of money, but they haven't turned the first shovel of dirt yet. And a lot of people have made the accusation that a lot of that money has actually gone towards organizing down in the beach flats rather than to develop housing.
Well, isn't it also a concern that whenever the government spends money on any of these things, it seems to turn into sort of a gravy train for bureaucrats, but the people in need seem to be at the very bottom of the trickle-down?
I definitely agree. I can't think of a... When we were working initially in L.A., which Tent City number 1 in 84 is responsible for a lot of the the funds that are now in the pipeline for the homeless, and there is considerable funds. The only problem is it's not getting to the homeless. What we've done in this town, and I have to take a lot of the blame for that, is we have created an enormous homeless bureaucracy. We just recently, there was a request for $647,000 in money for homeless public health. And of that, $350,000 was just designated for salaries. And of the whole $647,000, only $80,000 was actually designated for direct services. So your point is very true. What we're seeing is a lot of new jobs being created and a lot of buildings being bought, but not much is getting down for the to the homeless.
Now, one question I wanted to bring up, or let's say an idea, was that there seems to be an attitude in our society somewhat that, you know, you have to be a productive member of society. Now, this productive member of society could have any number of jobs. They could be nurses or doctors, you know, maybe even good doctors, or they could drive over the hill and maybe make some nuclear weapons work for, you know, Lockheed up in Bonny Doon. But those people, you know, are productive members of our society, according to the values mostly used when we read articles about the homeless and some of the complaints, or they, you know, get a job, they don't do anything, and there's not a high level of compassion, it seems, and it doesn't seem like people look deep enough into just, well, if people drop out of this society, well, maybe they might have a reason, and maybe they might, you know, start us thinking about how we can build something better, but that doesn't, they don't usually get that credit, and I don't think the issue's been brought up too much.
I don't think it's any longer accurate to assume that what productive is this time card tax-paying model. I know people who are more productive. Jane mentioned the Rainbow family picking up the beaches. Who left the beaches dirty? You know, think about what productive means. I work a lot harder when I don't have money than when I do to meet my basic needs. I work a lot harder in my community as a community worker, helping people in a lot of different ways, cleaning up if it boils down to that, because I don't have that full range of benefits that is presumed to I don't understand why people think it's productive. You know, the game has to do with competing with someone else, creating some kind of status. People have different ideas of what that status is. Most people in America think it means there's someone you have to look down in. Maybe as racism has become slowly made illegal across the nation, they've shifted some bigotry. I think that the people who think that their whole existence is valid because their paycheck is a little more than rent and food and car insurance really need to re-examine their values.
Well, also in Santa Cruz, the homeless here are a very talented group of people. They're people with skills. They're people who have real things that they do with their lives, and they're not the vagrant, derelict type than most people think of. And they do very useful things with their lives, from what I've seen.
Well, also, there is an issue of many of the homeless are disabled. For example, someone was just telling me about there's a street musician, you see him on the mall often. He's a man confined to a wheelchair, and he's blind, and he camps out. And it just seems like a real outrage in the society that, you know, someone with, you know, those many, you know, strikes against their well-being, and plus the fact that he's a talented individual, and yet he has to camp, and he gets all these tickets for camping.
Mm-hmm. It's a lot of talented people, a lot more disabled people on the streets now than even 4 months ago.
Okay, that brings up the question of most people have this image of a typical homeless person as being a 25 to 35-year-old white male, who could just as easily get a job at McDonald's as being on the street. And could you address that concern that, or that perception that most people have of a able-bodied white male being the typical homeless person?
Yeah, well, I'll start and just say briefly, and that here again, I think I have to go back to the original premise, is that regardless if they're a white male or whatever, they still have a right to sleep if they're inside or they're outside. And I think we have to keep that in perspective. The other thing is, people get a little annoyed with me, I guess, because I even advocate on behalf of those people who follow the Grateful Dead. And we also have a lot of young people on the streets here. And I believe that if there's anybody that we need to try to reach, it is the young runaway homeless people and also the deads, because most people don't realize why the deads are deads. I mean, they figure that society is over and it's dead. And, I think that's real essential that we understand all that.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of the homeless are small children these days. I was at a public a workshop yesterday where Panetta was, where he said that he'd recently been in Oklahoma, where he saw in the food pantry, public food giveaway lines, that most of the people in line were women with their children hanging on to them as they work through these lines. You don't see that here because there's no longer any kind of on-the-street food distribution here. You have to have the right phone numbers and the right connections to get food. They have passed a law by the state of California that went into effect February 1st of this year that wants to address the problem that even families with children with the relatively guaranteed resource of AFDC or welfare didn't need to be on the streets just because 1 month went bad or something. But in Santa Cruz, that doesn't work because the cost of housing is beyond this relatively liberal piece of legislation's scope. You still have to rent something for less than your total monthly aid benefit.
Well, we do have a phone call. Maybe we'll just see what the person out there has to say. KZSC, you're on the air. Hello?
Hi.
Hi.
I just have a question.
Oh, good.
Well, so this is not related to what you're on the air about.
Oh, well then, we'll see you later, okay?
Bye.
Okay, if someone has a question relative to homelessness issue tonight, give us a call at 429-4036, mm-hmm. and we'll try to take it. We don't have very long to go.
And if it's something else, call 429-2811. That's our office number.
I'd like to say that there are also a lot of older people who have been in our community a long time out in the streets. And if Measure F passes, which is what you mentioned earlier about displacing the mobile home people, most of those are senior citizens, and most of them will have that as their only option if that law passes and things other than that go the same way.
A lot of people don't realize one thing about that particular initiative is that it will also outlaw the affordable housing clause in Measure J, which requires 15% of all housing be built for low-income people. And a lot of people think this is just about rent control, but there's a lot more people affected.
Mm-hmm. Measure J is kind of lame to start with. It's been real hard to get the intent of that to be translated into affordable or even maybe low-cost housing, and to keep families that have always been in Santa Cruz able to live here. It's been compromised from the start because of effective lobbying builders, I guess, contractors, and now they're trying to invalidate it. But Measure F is a illegally arranged thing for the ballot. I witness people soliciting signatures for that initiative by lying to people, one person after another, even after being given facts.
We do have someone else trying to call, so we'll see what they have to say. KZSC, you're on the air. Hello?
Hello. I think it's time to talk about what the community can do. We've listened, and we now have an idea about what the situation is, and I think the community could make some suggestions. Are you ready?
Well, yeah. You're the community now?
I am a person in the community,
okay.
An activist in the community.
So what are your suggestions?
I would suggest some petitions to go to the city council. As they're asleep or as they are trying to railroad their ideas through that don't particularly reflect what a lot of us think, then we better shake them up. I think that what John Laird said is deplorable for him to talk this way about homeless people. I think a petition is in order to the city council. A petition is in order to the county supervisors,
mm-hmm.
asking that they give
okay.
attention to the fact, and we can circulate these petitions, and there are people who are
mm-hmm.
gladly supporting campsites.
Yeah. This has been done, hasn't it, Jane?
Yeah. Right, we submitted over 4,000 signatures to the city council over the past couple of months, and they just continue to ignore it.
I'll tell you what I think is better than just the old city council.
Sure.
I would recommend getting the new
We're going to go on to another caller now, but we want to thank you for your call and your insight.
Yeah, I think it's absolutely necessary for them to tell us what they're going to do, or we're not going to vote for them.
Right on.
Well,
bye bye.
Well,
so that's some of that has been tried, but I'm sure that that petition, by the way, you've thought of having an initiative on the ballot. That has been tossed around, hasn't it?
Yeah, we tried to get the city council to do that, and they said absolutely not. They would not do that. Since they weren't going to make any move to rescind it or to bring it into constitutional compliance, we'd ask them to put an initiative on. The only one they were interested in doing that was the SLUSH.
Well, there is an initiative process where you can get something on the ballot, whether the council likes it or not, can't you?
Exactly right. It would take a much longer time, and it also costs a lot of money, which obviously we don't have at this point. But you know, if we can't get anywhere else, then we ultimately might have to go that route. But it would involve another couple of years.
When we needed to work on that recently, we didn't know that they were going to be deaf to the petitions that we at that time were working on.
One of the things you're trying to do now is get some members in the community who aren't homeless and haven't gotten directly involved to take this issue to heart and to sort of see their rights involved as well. What way can people get involved, you know, who are listening, who'd like to do something?
Well, they can either stop by the street sheet table, which is on the mall almost every day. You can leave your name and address or talk to one of the people who are sitting at the table. They could also contact the number, which is the coalition to end the sleeping ban, which, can I give that number?
Yeah,
give yeah, it's 429-9801.
Okay, well, I guess we're just about out of time. Any last thoughts?
I just hope people can realize that if they're not homeless now, that they may be blessed and that they may be a paycheck or a toothache away from it. Bear that in mind.
All right, well, thank you for joining us.
Thank you
for having us.
We've been talking to Jane Immler, city council candidate and homeless activist, Linda LeMaster, mother, and what else?
I work for the Welfare Parent Support Group, and I work on behalf of the homeless.
And Brian Koepke, who's ex-Greenpeace.
And nuclear weapons free, and I'm an independent activist on the street now in this election year.
And a good one, too.
Thank you.
Well, thank you very much, and good night. Stay tuned for Elizabeth with Changes. Good night.
Thank you, KZSA.
Yeah, thank you.
The diggers came to show the people's will. They defied the landlords, they defied the laws. They were the dispossessed, reclaiming what was theirs. We come in peace, they said, to dig and sow. We come to work the land in common and to make the wasteland grow. Desert divided, we will make whole. So it can be a common treasury for all. The sin of property we do disdain. No one has any right to buy and sell the earth for private gain. By theft and murder they took the land. Now everywhere the walls rise up at their command. They make the laws to chain us well. The clergy dazzle us with heaven, or they damn us into hell. We will not worship the God they serve, the God of greed who feeds the rich while poor men starve. We work, we eat together, we need no swords. We will not bow to masters or pay rent to the lords. We are free men, though we are poor. Diggers all stand up for glory, stand up now. From the men of property,
the orders came. They sent the hired men and troopers to wipe out the niggers plain, tear down their cottages, destroy their corn. They were dispersed, only the vision lingers on.